There's another safety issue to consider when we're talking about pipelines: the safety of the workers who build and maintain them. That's the subject of a piece by journalist Antonia Yuhas in the latest issue of Pacific Standard magazine. It's called Death on the Dakota Access, an investigation into the deadly business of building oil and gas pipelines. You'll remember Dakota Access is the almost 1,200-mile underground crude oil pipeline that begins in the Bakken Shale region of North Dakota and ends in Illinois. The final stage of its construction was the cause of mass protests and a standoff between Native American and other activists and law enforcement. The pipeline is owned by Energy Transfer Partners, which also owns the natural gas pipeline that exploded in Beaver County. I recently spoke with Antonia Yuhas. Through your investigation and reporting, you found that oil and gas pipeline workers had a higher fatality rate than the average American worker. Tell me about the numbers and where the data came from.
When I discovered that one worker, Nicholas Janisich, had died building the Dakota Access Pipeline, and I saw a brief report of it by the North Dakota Associated Press, I decided to look more deeply into what caused his death and then to ask this question of overall safety and security. What I found out was that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which publishes fatality rate data for, you know, it's what most people use. It's the standard set of information that we use for understanding the fatality rates associated with different industries in the United States. They only started counting deaths in oil and natural gas pipeline construction or reporting them in 2003, and that they have never produced publicly a fatality rate for oil and natural gas pipeline construction. So I spoke with Bureau of Labor Statistics and tried to, you know, understand why they hadn't run this information, and they didn't really have an answer for me, and they weren't planning on doing it, and I couldn't convince them to do it, so I decided to do it myself. And crunching the numbers, I came up with this, you know, unique data set, and so as not to compare apples to oranges, I created, using the same model, and again using Bureau of Labor Statistics data, both a fatality rate for oil and gas pipeline construction workers and a national fatality rate with which to compare it. And what I came up with is oil and gas pipeline construction workers having a fatality rate in 2016 that was 3.6 times the national average for the average American worker, and that it has reached highs of 7 times the average rate, and since 2003 has averaged 4.3 times the fatality rate for the average American worker.
You mentioned the worker who died during the Dakota Access Pipeline construction, Nicholas Janisich, and another worker who died during the construction of that pipeline. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened to them?
Janisich's death, I did a Freedom of Information Act request, interviewed a sheriff and other local parties, but there are no witnesses to his death. Janisich was working alone, essentially, out near where Dakota Access Pipeline, where it starts. And he was working at the very tail end of pipeline construction. And he, in fact, had never worked on pipeline construction before. He was only 3 weeks into the job. And he was driving a tractor. So pipe was already in the ground. The earth was returned above it. And he was retilling the land using something called a ripper to allow vegetation to grow there again. And he was, as I uncovered, is very typical in this industry, a subcontractor to a subcontractor to a subcontractor to a subcontractor. The tractor he was working on had been altered. It jammed. He got out to fix it himself, jammed a crowbar into the ripper, and these scythe-like blades that are used to till the ground dislodged and struck him in the skull. He made his way back into the tractor and was randomly found by his foreman, who happened to be driving another worker to another tractor site. And he died from a skull fracture less than 24 hours after being injured. And just 3 days later, at the other end of the pipeline in Illinois, another worker, Troy Dolan, was also killed. And his death had not been reported as associated with the Dakota Access Pipeline until I filed a Freedom of Information Act request and started digging. And his was, you know, just exceptionally avoidable. He had been suffering from heat stroke all day, moving heavy equipment around. He seemed to have sought out shade under a low boy truck, which is used to haul these massive pieces of equipment. And he must have fallen asleep or potentially passed out. And the driver of the truck moved the truck, not knowing he was under it, and crushed him to death, killing him.
Who is looking out for these workers? What are the regulations?
Even though oil and gas extraction and pipeline construction are considered part of the mining sector by the federal government, they are not subject to the more stringent Mining Health and Safety Act, which requires inspections of sites, whether or not there's been an incident, whether or not there's been a reported problem, a death or an injury. Even though oil and natural gas extraction and pipeline construction have among the highest fatality rates in the nation, both sectors fall under, instead of mining, they fall under the regular OSHA Act, Occupational Safety and Health Act, and it's less stringent safety requirements. So no mandatory inspections. And in fact, before Janicich's death in the previous 6 months, OSHA had not inspected a single part of the Dakota Access Pipeline at all until he died. And one reason for that is how few OSHA inspectors there are. There's only 8 in the entire state of North Dakota. And the AFL-CIO has found that it would take OSHA 100 years in North Dakota to inspect every job site just once. And these sectors, oil and gas and pipeline construction, are considered low hazard industries, which means that they are subject to less stringent OSHA oversight. And that was already the condition going into the Trump administration. For example, right now, there is no OSHA administrator under the Trump administration. It has significantly lost staff, including inspectors. And the Trump administration has eliminated and failed to enforce a number of Obama-era regulations that were geared at making these sectors more safe, and also has rolled back reporting requirements, including what is posted on the Bureau of Labor Statistics website and what information needs to be made publicly available in terms of injuries and fatalities that is gathered from the companies.
Well, don't these companies have an interest in making sure as few of these accidents happen as possible?
The companies certainly do, but unfortunately, this distance between the parent company and the actual employer, you know, really creates a sense of it's not on our watch, because the ultimate parent company isn't being held liable or accountable. And the unions are definitely trying. And I ran the numbers, and definitely workers who are reported to be members of unions by OSHA and its public reporting data are significantly less likely to have suffered fatalities than those who are not in unions. So the unions are providing more training than the average worker. They're providing more oversight than the average worker, and more accountability between employee and company. And I think that's certainly true across the board. That said, both Dolan and Janicich were members of unions, and they still suffered these fatalities. So I think there still is a great deal of lack of appropriate oversight and enforcement over the companies. And I do think one of the a place to look at that is who gets held accountable and to what standard. OSHA had initially held, in Janicich's case, had considered this a serious violation with a fine of $8,873, which, believe it or not, is actually a high fine coming from OSHA. That was then downgraded and negotiated down with the company to, quote, less than serious, and then just this $5,000 fine. $5,000 is not a lot of money to pay when a worker dies. And I think it's tragic. In Dolan's case, only a hazard alert letter was issued to Precision, so not even a citation. And I think if that's going to be the case, if there is weak and lax enforcement, then it makes it much easier to treat these workers' lives without the appropriate care and concern for their safety and health.
Is there a difference between building an oil pipeline like the Dakota Access Pipeline versus a gas transmission line like the ones we have here in Pennsylvania?
There is a difference, but not a significant difference. So basically, it's a standard set of procedures for how you build a pipe, regardless of what's going to pass through it. There are different regulations in terms of how deep the pipe needs to be in the ground, thickness of the pipe, but basically in terms of the process of building, it's the same. I also found that in pipeline construction, and this is very important to Pennsylvania, compared to the previous decade, pipelines built since 2010 carrying oil and other hazardous liquids are more than twice as likely to suffer incidents, and those carrying natural gas are over 5 times more disaster prone. And that impacts, of course, both the workers whose job it is to install it, to maintain it, even more importantly, and the people who live near those pipelines. And so we are seeing a rash of pipeline explosions recently, particularly pipelines carrying natural gas, that are both suffering failures because they're too old and suffering failures because they're too new. You know, basically, there was a dramatic increase in pipeline construction that accompanied the boom in natural gas and oil production in the United States. And with the number of pipelines carrying oil and other hazardous liquids tripling from 2006 to 2016, and a similar significant increase in the amount of pipelines carrying natural gas. And they were built quickly, and they were built, it seems, without the appropriate oversight because they are failing way too often. It's also true that there's more of them, and they're likely, it seems that they are too likely to fail. And so they are failing in greater numbers. One reason simply being because there are significantly more of them.
Antonia Juhas's article, Death on the Dakota Access, An Investigation into the Deadly Business of Building Oil and Gas Pipelines, appears in the latest issue of Pacific Standard Magazine. There's a link and more of our conversation at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.